Welcome to Career Conversations. My name is Siobhan Murphy and I'm a career consultant here in DCU Career Service. Today is part of our spotlight on employers attending DCU's virtual careers fair that takes place on the 15th of October. I'm joined by Suzanne Murphy, who is a graduate programme lead with KPMG, and our colleague Emily Merles, who is student programme lead with KPMG. But you're both very welcome.
Thanks very much.
So I'm going to start off with yourself, Suzanne. KPMG, it's probably synonymously known as one of the big four. So it's a brand we know quite well, like many of our employers that come to our careers fairs every year. But in your own words, can you explain to me what is KPMG and what is it all about and why should anybody consider applying to it?
Yeah, so, well, I suppose the obvious bits, we're a professional service firm. So what we do is offer audit, tax, deal advisory and consulting services to our clients. So in Ireland, we have about 3,500 people working and they would be split up between the Dublin office, the Cork, Galway and Belfast office. I guess we're a multinational company as well, as you might know. So we have about 219,000 people working for us, and we have presence in about 147 countries. So I suppose there's many reasons, I guess, to join KPMG, but one of the real things I think is, I guess, the diversity and the large range of clients that you would get experience working with across many different industries would be one. Also the training and development from, I suppose, coming in as an intern right up to an experienced hire person, then if the training is really, really good for all levels, particularly when you come in on the grad programme as well. So that's where you would begin your accountancy training and complete your ACA exams to become a chartered accountant.
Brilliant. Maybe I could bring you in there, Emily, and perhaps maybe you could just maybe talk about the specific graduate streams that you hire.
Yeah, absolutely. So our graduate programme application process is actually open now. In the most part, it's closing on the 14th of October, and a management consulting application process closes a bit earlier typically, but you can find out details at kpmgcareers.ie. But in relation to the different roles that we would typically hire for, they would be across our audit, tax, deal advisory and consulting services, and they're across a range of different office locations as well. And in terms of deal advisory, when you break that down a bit further into where you can work, there namely our restructuring and forensics practice, our transaction services and corporate finance teams. And then in relation to consulting, that would be our management consulting. There's two roles that we're advertising for management consulting. One which specialises in data analytics, so anyone with a STEM background might find that quite appealing. And if you're not interested in the chartered accounting route, most management consulting roles don't require you to do that in KPMG, so that's one for people who might not want to follow that route. And then, of course, we have risk consulting, which is another branch of our consulting practice, and that is a route for people who do want to pursue their chartered accounting exam. So lots of different roles that you can apply to, and the great thing about our application process is you can put down different roles that you're interested in order of preference, and you'll be considered for all those roles. I think one question we get a lot is, you know, what do you do in these different areas? You know, you hear about tax, you hear about audit, and you might not necessarily know what's involved. So I suppose in relation to audit, in a nutshell, you're essentially checking financial statements of a client to make sure they accurately reflect the business. But I suppose in terms of a lifestyle, it involves a lot of movement and travel around to different client sites. So really, if you're interested in getting to see the nuts and bolts of how some of the biggest organizations work, then audit really is one for you, because you're kind of down in the trenches with the clients on their client site of a normal year when we're not battling COVID. And then it's also a bit of a global passport as well. In a normal year, it lends itself quite well to global travel, and you can settle in different countries and continue on your audit career as well. So it's quite good in that sense. In terms of tax, it's probably one of the lesser known areas. A lot of, say, business courses would tend to do tax modules in the most part in their final year. But it's a really interesting area. So if you've ever been interested in law modules, it might be one for you as well. There's two teams within our tax practice, compliance and advisory. I suppose the compliance is kind of getting to see the nuts and bolts of how everything works. So it is the, I suppose, typical tax returns and rates and getting accustomed to those pieces. But once you have that down, you move over to the advisory side, and that's where the legal side comes in. So I suppose you're tackling a client's case and trying to solve the problems they're facing. And it's quite interesting, you know, you could be advising a high net worth individual in their tax affairs, or you could be advising an aircraft leasing company on a deal that they're doing. So it really is very varied. I suppose in terms of deal advisory, I mentioned that was broken down to restructuring and forensics, corporate finance and transaction services. So within those areas, you could be doing anything. I suppose in corporate finance, you could be advising a client on a big merger and acquisition. In transaction services, you might be advising a client on a mega transaction, like the sale of a multi-million euro property portfolio. And in restructuring, you might be advising a client facing insolvency or liquidation. So that's quite interesting. You might see the names of those clients in the news as well. And then the final area is consulting that I mentioned. So you could be doing anything in there, but as I said, it really lends itself well to people who are from a STEM background. So you could be working on artificial intelligence projects, data analytics, cybersecurity, or internal audit or GDPR projects. So definitely loads of different variety of the roles at KPMG.
Brilliant, and thanks for that insight. I suppose one of the things that we want to make sure our listeners understand this year is that the closing date for KPMG and the professional service firms in general is the 14th of October. And obviously this podcast is going out well in advance of that. So there's great tips, and we'll even have more tips by the end of the episode for our listeners. So, but actually at the GCU Virtual Careers Fair, KPMG do have a stand on the 15th, and it'll be a fantastic resource for anyone who has applied to KPMG and wants a little bit more insight. So when, if and when they get called to the next stage, they can maybe get a little bit more insider track on what would be useful for them to prepare for that. What will also be very, very useful for anyone considering a summer internship next year with KPMG, want to book in and, you know, start, you know, working on that whole process and what's involved in the summer internship. So we might just talk a little bit about the summer internship there, Emily. Would that be okay with you?
Absolutely.
Okay. So summer internship, did it happen this year with everything, or how did you manage, and how do you foresee managing next year and so on and so forth?
Yeah, so it did actually happen this year, albeit it was a different format than usual. So we held a 3-week program this year, and it was all virtual, 100% virtual. So we adapted our traditional program so that we could run it online. So all of our training programs, our workshops and everything like that were run online instead. So anything from motivational speakers on personal resilience to you know, nutrition and well-being talks, it was all run online. And kind of in relation to the support, I think that's one thing that people now, when they're facing, you know, a work placement or an internship, they're wondering, how can I do this sitting from my kitchen table? So we're really, really conscious of that. So all of our summer interns were assigned a performance manager and a mentor and a buddy. So their performance manager was there to have weekly calls, check in on how they're doing and how they're getting on. Their mentor was there to help them with the work that they were doing. So I'll touch on what was involved there. And their buddy was someone who was on the graduate program, possibly did an internship last year, and there to give support as well. So each of those people were checking in weekly with their student to make sure that they were getting on okay. In terms of the work, obviously it's a bit of a challenge, you know, kind of getting involved in work when you are sitting at your kitchen table. We definitely wanted to give our interns a real flavor of what it's like to work in KPMG. So we built over the course of a few months a realistic client case study based on previous client work that we've done for the students across our audit, tax, deal advisory and consulting services and our legal practice as well, who have a small internship program. And they worked on those over the course of the 3 weeks. And at the end, they completed a presentation to directors and partners as well at KPMG. And I suppose one of the things you do miss out on as a part of the internship program would be the social aspect of things. So we were really conscious of that. Usually in a normal year, we'd have a barbecue and a sports day for all of our interns as well. So we try to have online interactive events as well, things like quizzes. I'm sure everyone's sick of quizzes by the end. We have a cook along demo as well with Davey Nutrition, who works with Irish Rugby and Dublin Football as a nutritionist. And we also had a steps challenge. So our interns raised money for three different charities as well over the course of their time. So it was a different internship program than usual, but we had amazing feedback. I think we had like 99.9% positive feedback and everything. So I suppose that was our internship last year. I suppose with any internship or work placement program, you would ideally want the students to have the full experience and be in our offices and get to do, you know, real client work and all the things that you would usually do. I suppose, though, health and safety is number one priority and absolutely key. So ideally for 2021, we would love to have all of our interns in doing the typical internship. But we'll have to, I suppose, see how things pan out and unfold. And I suppose the nice thing is that we know that we have a really great internship, a virtual internship that works, that students enjoy. And about 80% of our interns got offered a graduate program position from the virtual internship last year. So, you know, if needs be and we have to roll out virtual again, you know, we will do. But fingers crossed, something might happen and we can do the usual internship this summer,
or even a hybrid. You know, you just never know. Yeah. A hybrid even might be you know a great transitional step, you know. So, but as you said, the virtual worked well, and you know, at least, you know, going forward, you know what it is, it was not an ideal, but there was nothing wrong with it either, you know. It's you exactly. know, it's, these are the compromises in life, and as you said, health and safety and is really, really important. So I just want to get back to yourself, Suzanne. You know, one of the things that we do know, like for the tax and for the accountancy, these are, you know, there's study, there's exams, and then there's obviously the day-to-day work in KPMG. Can you talk me through the whole, in general terms, the whole process there?
Yeah, sure. Well, I suppose the KPMG Business School is our learning and development hub in KPMG. So they would organise all kind of the training and development and getting through the exams and things like that. So they'd cover anything from, I suppose, your technical training, and they'll also do things like pitching to clients, presentation skills, kind of Excel skills or anything like that. So there's a huge, huge range of courses that anyone can enroll in. And like that, there's training that's obviously for interns. There's different training that's just for placements, and the same with grads as well. So when our grads begin, they usually do about 4 weeks training before they're actually in the office in normal times, to say so. What they do then, if you have, for example, if you have your full Cap 1 exemptions, then you'd start a little later than someone that doesn't. So whoever is coming from maybe a non-business background might have 2 or 3 weeks extra training there, and that's to kind of get them up to speed on some of the stuff. So that's quite facilitated quite well. But then obviously it's very, very daunting, I guess, doing exams and working at the same time. But there's a lot of kind of study leave as well that's given. So say for your Cap 1 exams, you have about 38 days of study leave there ahead of those. If you're doing your Cap 2 exams, if you're coming into KPMG and starting straight into those, you have about 60 days. And the same then for your final accountancy exams, which is your FEs. So you'll have about 65 days for those. So yeah, you're talking, I guess, about over 2 months, you know, of study leave there as well in preparation for the exams. But I suppose the important thing is there's, you know, hundreds of students in the same boat. And I always think of it a little bit like an extension of college almost. You're coming into kind of a training program, and the friends you kind of meet, you know, initially are sort of the ones that you always have throughout. And there's a lot of support there and things like that as well, even amongst peers and things like that. And Emily's touched a little bit there on kind of the performance manager and your budgie and things. And I sort of, I've heard a bit of feedback there that there's a lot of support there in terms of even getting notes or and things, and even the business school now as well. Like if you're, say, for example, falling behind in a certain area or something like that, the business school will organise like extra tutorial lessons and things like that as well for people working. So yeah, and we won actually the Grad Ireland Award this year now for best training and development, which we were delighted for. So and
well then
thanks very much. Yeah, I know they were really delighted with that one. And also, like, you know, we our recent success in our final accountancy exams as well with a 94% pass rate. So we're really, really chuffed with that. Obviously, the celebrations were virtual this year now versus out, you know, in Dublin somewhere in the regions. But like, you know, it was still a great celebration for the firm and everything like that. So, yeah.
I just want to pick you up on a very important thing that you mentioned there, was that for those who come in from a non-business background, and I think that's one of the things that people often forget, you don't have to have a business or accountancy degree to pursue a career in professional services. Can you talk a little bit more about that, Karen?
Yeah, sure. So essentially you can come from, like, we're welcome applications from any degree. So we've had in the past someone from, you know, zoology, we've had nurses, we've had teachers, we've had a bit of everything, every course kind of coming through the door. And it's great to see, because a lot of the time as well, you can end up working with clients that was in that industry. So you might end up working in the healthcare industry, you know, so you do have that knowledge as well, which is really, really good. But when you're coming in, say, from a non-business, you will have to do your CAP 1 exams there, in addition to your CAP 2s and FEs. Now, there is another option, which is maybe before coming into KPMG, you can do a sponsored postgraduate diploma, which will get you your CAP 1 exams. That's open for anyone that wants to do exams, you know, in college versus coming into the firm to do them. And then similarly, actually, as well, if you prefer to do a master's in accountancy as opposed to doing CAP 2s whilst working, you can do that too, and we can sponsor you on that. So I guess those are other options as well that's open to students.
Brilliant. Emily, I might just come back over to yourself there again. Just step us through the selection processes there again, and we'll see, can we get underneath them a little bit more? And I know Suzanne has some tips around a few things there as well, but if you can bring us through the ABCs there, Emily.
Yeah, absolutely. So I suppose whether you're applying for an internship or applying for our graduate program, you apply on our website at kpmgcareers.ie. The application form is pretty straightforward, you know, has the typical areas around education, work experience, extracurricular activities, and some more free text questions about, you know, why you'd like to apply to KPMG and whatnot. It takes about 20 minutes, I would say, to complete it start to finish, but there's nothing hidden in there. We don't have any psychometric testing or any other elements. It's a straightforward form. And some people wonder if they have to submit a CV or a cover letter. You don't need to do any of that. You just need to answer the questions on the form. And then on the recruiter side, on our side, it comes out on the other end looking like a CV, looking like your, you know, a CV that you've submitted.
Oh, it's a platform, obviously, that you're using. So it generates the information in the way that it's useful to you. Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, it's all your details just formatted in sections as you've answered those questions. In terms of the interview process, say for summer internships, it's 30-minute interview, either with a member of campus recruitment or with a member of management from the area that you have applied to and been selected for. For our graduate program, it's the same application process in a nutshell, essentially. However, the interview process is slightly different. So you have two rounds of interviews in the most part in most areas, and they're 30 minutes each, excuse me, with a little break in between as well. So it's competency-based interview. It will ask you, of course, about your background and anything you've written on your CV and kind of your future plans and career motivation. And then there's typically some competency-based questions around different competencies that we would typically assess. So I suppose in terms of kind of what you need to do, the application form is very straightforward. Would always recommend for students who've made an application and are selected for interview to practice answering the competency-based questions. They're always the ones with any interview that you go to that will get you. So using the STAR approach to frame the answers to your questions, and you can easily Google what that means and research that a little bit more. And definitely to practice with people in your family, you know, your friends, you know, it sounds silly, but even practicing your responses in the mirror, just to make sure that you're comfortable in answering and even talking about your CV. So that's the application process in a nutshell and kind of my tips anyway for interview preparation.
That's really, really helpful. Thanks a million for that, Emily. I just might come over to you, Karen, or Suzanne. Sorry.
Not okay.
I've renamed you. Apologies for that, Suzanne.
No problem.
Sorry for that. Can you just talk me through, you mentioned me when we were talking before we started recording that you have particular top tips around the video interviews. You might share them with us.
Yeah, sure. So obviously it might be just a bit different this year for students going through the interview process and going through the milk round. But some things, I suppose, that might sound very obvious, but you know, things like testing your sound and camera ahead of an interview, even the night before, will just calm the nerves a little bit, because even I use it every day, and every time I seem to sometimes go on to a meeting, you'd be surprised that, you know, your internet isn't working, your camera is disabled and things like that. So that's definitely something that you should do in advance and try to avoid leaving it to last minute. Another thing as well would be at eye level. So you want to avoid looking at your device or looking down even. So, you know, having your device, whether it's a phone or a laptop, having that at eye level, and whether that's putting a couple of books or that underneath it, I guess what you're trying to do is make it as if it's an in-person interview. So you want to be looking straight at the interviewer and vice versa. And sometimes, you know, if you have two screens or that, you know, the interviewer is looking at the side of your face when you think you're looking in. So really you just have to look through the camera on your laptop or your phone. Another thing as well is kind of good lighting is key, I guess. So avoid sitting with your back to a window, because for the person looking at you, that's just creating a dark silhouette and things like that. And those, again, are things that's very, very simple, but also worth testing and making sure that you have good lighting and things. Background noise is another one. So just, you know, turn off your phone for the interviewer. And I don't know if you do maybe have email notifications popping up and the sound on your laptop, it might be on. So, you know, avoid those kind of things, and because it's just going to distract you really from the interview if things are popping up on your screen. And finally, you know, I guess working from home and studying from home even, I guess you tend to maybe dress a bit more casually and things like that. But at the end of the day, you are going through an interview process. So particularly anyway, for KPMG, the dress code would be still sort of business formal. So I guess that's still important to kind of keep that side up as well. But yeah, I think those will be mostly my tips anyway. Hopefully they're somewhat helpful.
No, they are, and it is a good reminder, especially about dressing smartly and things like that. And yes, you know, definitely all those technical things. And I think we're all a little bit guilty of, you know, maybe not looking to that camera as much, you know, and things like that. So there is little tricks around depending on what platform. Now, do you use Zoom or MS Teams, or are you on a platform for your interviews? Do you know?
Yeah, well, it's we have both, I suppose, in KPMG. So it'll be Zoom or Microsoft Teams.
Okay.
That'll be carried out on. But I do know that some browsers work better than others as well. For I think Google Chrome would work better than Explorer and things like that. So again, it's sort of a bit about testing. Now, the other thing as well, students probably talk to their friends quite a lot, you know, on quizzes and things like that. So they might be quite familiar with. You know, using that technology, but just things like I don't know if everyone knows, but you should have the app downloaded onto your device as well ahead of the interview. Those are little things that, you know, in the morning you just don't want to stress yourself out. So even once you have the app downloaded, then you shouldn't have an issue getting onto the platform.
Brilliant. So what I'm actually hearing from you then is that just don't rely on your laptop, have your on your phone download, you know, whether you're going to come in on MS Teams or you're going to come in on the Zoom.
Exactly.
Brilliant. Yeah. And then you have a backup plan. That's brilliant. So that's a really backup solution. That's fantastic. Okay. Brilliant. Just going to come back to yourself there, Emily, because you mentioned there around why KPMG. And that is a critical question, you know, isn't it really? You know, can you maybe share with us about where on your website or where that you recommend people find out how to, you know, express themselves more fully? Do you have blogs or case studies or particular insights that that people can kind of maybe go in, check out, and really kind of get that very personal connection to KPMG rather than the global type information?
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously everything is kind of moved virtually. I suppose a good place to start to find out more about KPMG would obviously be our website, to find out about what's involved in our graduate program or student programs, depending on kind of what your interests are. But I suppose we're hosting lots of different virtual activities. So aside from, you know, the fairs and stuff that we're joining at DCU, there's other things that have happened and will be happening over the coming months. So we have been running some webinars. I suppose one of our series, it's called the Catalyst series, about different topical things that students might want to know. So we've run one on the future of technology. We are running one, I think, this week on COVID-19 and how it's affected industries that we would work with. And the other one is around sustainability and how KPMG is working with firms on creating a sustainable future. So these are things that I think, you know, students are interested in. I think lots of people are interested about the program and what's involved, but I think it's nice to get some insights that students can use, whether it's for college projects or just generally to find out what's going on at KPMG. And they can link in with their careers office, their placement office, about those webinars to sign up and to attend. And we're also running Insight Days. We had run one in the last month, and we had lots of different DCU students at that, and we'll also be running another online Insight Day towards the end of January, just before summer internship applications close. But I suppose anything that we're doing virtual, whether it's webinars or online Insight Days, you know, we'll let all the DCU students know through the careers office as well, so keep an eye on that to find out more.
Brilliant. That's great, because you know yourself, you have a look at the website, but sometimes some of these websites can be quite big, you know, and even trying to find that nuance there. So there's some really, really good tips there on that. That's actually fantastic. So just coming back before we wrap up, you've given us plenty of tips. That's without a shadow of a doubt. But I suppose if you were to leave with one, you know, top tips, if that makes sense to you. If I could ask yourself there, Suzanne, you know, what maybe your top one or two tips there that you would really love the students, you know, to really take on board when applying to KPMG?
Yeah, so there's in the application form, I suppose there's at the end of it, there's some questions now. And it gives you a couple of lines to answer, but it's really looking at, I suppose, career motivation and things like that. Now, I always tell students that that's sort of something that we do read quite carefully. So I always think if students do a little bit of research for those, like one of the questions is something similar to why you want to work for KPMG. So avoid saying things like maybe, oh, it's one of the big four. And then maybe if, you know, for example, if you want to work in tax, you know, oh, well, KPMG has the largest tax practice in Ireland and I want to get my experience in that, you know, something that shows there you've done a little bit more research than a kind of a generic information, I guess, would be something I would suggest. And then something else as well, I think is important, is work experience. So if you do have any work experience and you might feel it's not relevant, you know, it could be something even working in a coffee shop, for example, and you feel that has nothing to do with accountancy, please put it down. A lot of students don't put down their work experience. And what that is that shows that obviously you're working, and it shows like that, you know, you'd have team working skills, you'd have time management skills and things like that, that would be all very, very relevant to a training program. And you'll definitely would be asked about it as well. So it would give you some time to, you know, bring in your examples into that when you're asked in your interview. So I would say those are some important things to remember. And also as well, proofreading is key. So, you know, I know it myself, even by doing something and you're looking at it for a long time, your eyes get tired and you don't see obvious mistakes maybe. But even by getting another family member to have a look over it, or a friend even, you'd be surprised. So those things like typos and things in an application form, at the end of the day, your application is the first glimpse that a recruiter sees. So, you know, an application form is important, and I wouldn't really myself rush it. You know, I would take the time to kind of complete it, and especially on our system as well, you can start to complete it and you can come back to it as well and save what you've done. So things like that, I mean, always don't submit it straight away, you know, have a little think and maybe come back and review it again, and you'd be surprised what other things you've thought of in the meantime.
Brilliant. That save and continue is always a great asset on application forms.
Yeah.
And yourself, Emily, what would be your tips? I know I know a lot of them have been mentioned, but what would be your own takes on it?
Yeah, sure. So I would have two tips that are slightly different than Suzanne's as well, just to add to the fullness of things. So Suzanne mentioned the importance of, you know, work. You know, you might not think it's relevant working in a coffee shop or a bar, whatever the case may be. Some other aspects of someone's experience, a student's experience, that students often don't see as relevant is the extracurricular activity. So, you know, some students, say, might not have work experience, but they might have had an amazing leadership role in a college society or something like that, or might have done some charitable activities and charitable work and have still developed those key skills that, you know, you would develop if you were in paid employment somewhere. So definitely don't pass those by on your application form, include those. And the other thing as well is to research the company that you're applying to. Research their values. So, you know, if a company values, you know, working together as a team, for example, think about the different ways you can frame your experience to showcase how you've developed amazing team skills, and try to incorporate that into the different roles that you've had work experience or extracurricular activities you've been involved in as well. One thing I suppose is that I'd always say is that if you're applying for different companies, never submit the same CV. Your CV or your application form should always be tailored to the company that you're applying to. And they would be my top tips for students.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. Learned a lot. I think you've given great, I suppose, insider hacks to the listeners. They'll have greater awareness of the nuances there about the application process, and you know, you're putting them in the best opportunity to succeed there with their application. So that's really, really useful. Thank you so much for that.
Not at all. Thanks for having us.